Good afternoon, good day, good morning, good evening, whatever time zone you're listening to us from. And yes, this is District 38. It's another one of the podcasts being sent out there to encourage our fellow Toastmasters. Yep, my name is Adioti, and I am the program quality, the club growth director for this year, 2024-2025 Toastmasters. Of course, a lot of people will say they're counting the days and the time when this month ends and then the new year starts. Yeah, Toastmasters year starts in July. So I do have a fellow person coming on, but that's all stories. Today I have the honor of introducing to you one of our Toastmasters in District 38, very recent member, and she's competed already. Can you imagine the fear, the scare? I don't think she had any of those. She did get all the way to the conference. So I'm not even talking about club level, district level, area level. I met her at the conference. She competed right there. Well, that's all story. Let me introduce you to Esohei Rabor, PhD. Short bio. Esohei is a Nigerian American Edo public health professional. She earned her PhD in biology at Howard University. Afterwards, she became a Kennedy Krieger Institute Emerge Health Leader Fellow, inaugural cohort. She has taught a bit as an adjunct professor of biology at Bowie State University. Now she's a public health laboratory fellow. Of course, you know all these acronyms that go with these people that have read a lot. So she has this acronym, PHL dash CDC. Wow. My hats to you, Rob Esohei. She conducts biomonitoring research in central New Jersey. Like I said, SOA just joined Toastmasters this Toastmasters year in October, and she'll be completing her level 3 in persuasive influence. Wow. Later this week. In addition to her Toastmasters journey of this rapid progress, in addition to her Toastmasters journey being one of rapid progress, it has also been one marked by several achievements, including giving invited speeches at five different District 38 clubs, competing around the district password program, winning the 2025 District 38 Division F table topic contest and earning her triple crown pin. But like I said, enough about me. This is a mega phone podcast, and I'm sure you would love to hear from Esohei. So let me have Esohei introduce herself in her own words and tell us what club she belongs to and why she joined Toastmasters. Esohei, the floor is yours.
Greetings to all my fellow Toastmasters out there. And for the record, the bio that she just went through was my bio. And what I'll add is that I am a member of Mercer's Best Toastmasters here in Central New Jersey. That's Club 3375. I'm glad to be here today with Adeoti Araba and to be able to talk about pathway proactivity and how to get moving through your pathway, whatever it might be. As was shared, mine is persuasive influence, but you might have another one, such as dynamic leadership or motivational strategies, whatever your pathway. We're going to be having a conversation today about how to get moving. So glad to be here.
Thank you, SOA. And yes, she's going to tell us all of us that looking and searching for those table topics idea to be able to turn into speeches. Let's find out from SOA how we can do this. How can I manage How can I manage my pathway by advancing rapidly? You know, some of us are trying to get those DTMs, but we haven't even given the final speech to one level, or maybe we've been at this for years, but this is how many months? You're talking about months here, right? SOA, give us the cheat sheet. You know, I'm willing to learn. Go ahead, tell us.
All right, so I'd like to start first by sharing with you all my journey into Toastmasters because, as was shared earlier, I began in October 2024. And so that is not too long ago. We're talking maybe 7 months max. And here I am completing level three this week. I began Toastmasters as an individual who had one sole goal. And that was to improve my public speaking skills. I had two main areas that I was focused on improving in, and I believed that improving in those two areas would take my speaking abilities to the next level. The first was to eliminate disfluencies. Disfluencies are those things that our grammarians in our meetings handle. So those ahs, ums, ers, so what, all those things, those are the things that we're calling disfluency. So I wanted to eliminate those from my speech, wanted it to be clean. And the second thing that I thought that I could improve that would take my speech to the next level is time management. I don't want to be one of those folks that isn't able to keep the time. I've noticed that I've had a bit of trouble with that before because I'm the type of person I can talk and talk and talk and talk. Right. So this has been able to be my Toastmasters experience, a learning experience for me, especially in those two segments. And over the course of my time in Toastmasters, with the sort of scientific approach, the methodical approach that we use to counting ers, ahs, and ums, and our keeping to time framework, I've seen marked improvement in my speaking abilities. I also learned while I joined, while I began to join last year, that there were a couple of other things of interest that I wanted to work on. And I only found that out while I was a Toastmaster. So there are two more things that are now on my quote unquote to-do list to improve and become a great speaker. One is being able to connect more effectively with my audience. And two is learning more about speech structures. I know my strengths and I know what is intuitive to me, but a lot of the technicality of public speaking and speeches, I didn't have those down before. So these are things that I've learned, and these are the things that have brought me to being a Toastmaster. So now, on to Adeoti's question about what's the secret behind making some movement through your pathways? I want to first acknowledge that completing the Toastmasters pathways may seem simple, but for many people, it may be daunting. Public speaking is probably not something that most people would say that they love. In fact, most people might say that they dislike or hate it. I'm one of the few people that I know that loves it and would do it anytime, right? So I can understand the reticence to engage in pathways because that would mean you'd have to get up there and speak in front of people. And to do it at the kind of pace that I've done it, it means that you need to be speaking almost every single meeting. So, how do we
That's
get
true.
started? There are two things that I want to put out there before I pause for Adeoti to get back to more questions. The first thing is to identify your major fear that is keeping you from starting. Because, of course, if you don't start, then you can't finish. Then the second thing is to identify what makes getting up there and doing a speech hard for you. What makes it difficult? What's the kind of thing that you notice you really don't enjoy? And when you identify those two things, that will go a long way to help you more willing, to help you be more willing to stand up and begin. Adeoti. Back to you.
Thank you so much, SOA. Yes, those are some questions that I think people would love answers to. What's our major fear for starting? And what fear do you have getting up there to give a speech in front of people? For me, I actually found that coming up with ideas of speech topics has been one of the problems I've had, because one of the things that happens is that you don't know what the audience really wants and how much comfortable are you with sharing maybe personal stories or your interest with people. So how do you balance those two in saying, do I share my personal interests or do I share stories, just tell stories? So which one do I pick and how do I know my audience is going to be receptive of it?
Those are great questions. And I'll answer the question through two ways. The first thing that I want to say is that when you're wondering about what it is you should give a speech about, you want to focus on things that excite you, things that you're interested in, things that you could talk to anyone about. When you focus on things that are of interest to you, it makes the process of writing a whole lot easier. Members of my club, Mercer's Best Toastmasters in Central New Jersey, will tell you that they've heard speeches from me on a range of unusual things, including the Barbie movie, Disney villains. They've heard speeches from me on health disparities and health equity. They've heard speeches from me on things like mentors that I had in which the relationship started getting inappropriate. I've spoken about all kinds of things, but what is the core of my decision each time about what I'm going to speak on? It's what interests me. I center myself in that decision. And then when I'm giving the speech, this is the second thing, I center the audience. So, in order to make a decision about what I'm going to talk about, I center myself and I talk about what I'm interested in. Of course, I still match with what the pathway is asking me to do. But within the framework of what the pathway is asking me to do, I now look for something that interests me. So, for example, earlier today, I gave a speech at the Scholastic Toastmasters Club, and they meet virtually on Sundays. Today is a Sunday. The speech that I gave was called Viewing Houses, and it was a connect with storytelling speech of level three. In that speech, I decided to talk about one extremely irksome experience that I had at work, in which a coworker of mine, who was a bit higher up the totem pole, started trying to cross the line when it came to private space and public workspace. So, this was a way that I was able to tell a story about an impactful situation that happened to me. So, when you are wondering, gosh, what can I talk about? And they want so many speeches from me, how can I choose something that will matter? One, center yourself in the choice, pick what you like. What you're interested in, what you want to know more about. Make sure that it matches with the Toastmasters pathway, what they're calling for. And then when you're giving the speech, center the audience. Pay attention to them. How are they receiving what you're saying? Is there any way that you can put in humor? But the most important thing is that throughout what you do, you have authenticity. And authenticity will keep the audience engaged, whether or not they care about, for example, health disparities and health equity, which happened to be my second speech in my Toastmaster pathway.
Thank you so much, SOA. I hope I'm saying your name right. So let me give you a minute.
Yes.
Let's give you a minute to, sound phonetically sound out your name.
Oh,
Because I know
yes.
people will look at a name and run. and just even keep quiet and not mention the name or pronounce the name or even try. So could you give us a phonetic pronunciation of your name, and does it
Sure.
have a meaning?
Yes. So my name is Esohe Irabor, and my name is a Benin name from Edo State in southern Nigeria. My name means free gift or gift traditionally, but if you think about it intuitively, my name means God's grace. And the idea there is that if anyone is to give a gift, it will cost someone something. But for a free gift, which means free as in cost nothing, for free gift to be given, that means that the person must have an infinite wealth, that nothing will be lost by giving. And that is something that those of us who are believers in higher powers can ascribe to our creator. So only the creator is ever abundant like that, who can give and never lose. So that's the concept of God's grace. And that is the meaning of my name. My father named me. So I'm very proud of my name. When I go anywhere, I make sure people say it right because it's an homage to my culture and my dad and my future, because that was his wish for me when he named me. And my fellow Toastmasters and Mercer's Best will recall that I gave a speech entitled Put Some Respect on My Name. So that is what I mean when I say talk about what matters to you, and you'll find that the speeches flow out. And it'll help you with your proactivity on your pathway.
I love that. I love that. You said focus on what excites you and
Exactly.
show interest. So you say you've given a range of topics, speeches, and ranging from Barbie to mentorship. Wow. Private to public. Awesome. Center yourself, center the audience, be authentic, but show excitement. That's good. That's good. That's good. So, we're talking about pathways and Toastmasters. And one of the things I know is that I came into pathways when it started. And other people have had is it the legacy? I'm sorry if I don't remember what it is, but I didn't do that. I only came into pathways, and I've seen
Same.
So I've seen how Toastmasters has been revamping itself, making it better, but I don't know, because you and I cannot compare to what it was before. So could you tell us what excites you about the base camp, and how do you record your progress? Because that's one of the things that I think people with the legacy and the pathways have an issue with. How do you record your progress in Toastmasters? Is it what, because from what I've heard from you, you've just given Toastmasters a great check, take it to the bank. This is something if you're really interested in, educating yourself on a career
Yes.
level or on a growth progress, this is something you should invest in. Some people would not get it, but you got it and you have something to say about that. So is there any way you can actually, maybe let me phrase that in this way. Is there any way you can say Basecamp Toastmasters Pathways works, or it's something that can be improved on?
All right, great. So what I can say, considering that I'm just like you, Adeoti, I only came in with the new program. I don't know how it was before. And actually, when I joined in October, they were making the switch that month. So I never experienced the old program. But what I can say is that the current Basecamp program is really good. It is largely intuitive. And it is relatively easy to use. It helps you keep track of everything, and you're able to go back and revisit old lessons if you would like. Now, I find that Basecamp helps me track my progress because it's able to retain information that I type in as I complete the modules that they have. It also keeps track of my enrollment or registration information with Toastmasters. So it has that I'm a member, and then it also has the club that I belong to. So when I give a speech, I'm able to go in and type in the name of the speech. It has my club. I can click a drop down right under that and pick the person who is giving me the evaluation. I'm also able to add in any notes that I would like for the evaluator or my fellow Toastmasters to read prior to me giving a presentation. Basecamp also provides a lot of the type of guidance that's needed for someone like myself who is, how do I put it, naturally talented at speaking, but they haven't learned the structural skills that goes with that. So in my case, all of the information that the Basecamp programs provide prior to the actual speech giving are presented in a really clear, concise manner where they get to the point about the types of frameworks that are recommended for one to use. And then they give you, at some of the higher levels, like level 4 and level 5, options about what you would like to do. Those are what they call the electives. So you may find that there are three electives, say in level 4. And maybe one of the electives is for you to get on a podcast like we're on today. Or
That's
another
true.
elective might be they want you to give a presentation in a community setting. Or they may say, we just want you to do a project within your club with your fellow Toastmasters. As an individual on that level, you get to pick what suits you best. And I love
That's
that
good.
about the
That's good.
path.
Yeah, that's good. So I like that. I like that. Before we go any further, I saw you shout out to Scholastic Toastmasters, and you even told us the time they meet on Sundays. And let me give you a minute to shout out to your club, your personal club, or your home club, Messrs. Best, because I would hate for them to come looking for me and say, it's so hey, did not mention when we meet, where we meet, and how we meet, and what community we are, and what community we are looking for to join our club. So, can you give us a little bit about your
Sure.
home club?
Sure. So my club, Mercer's Best Toastmasters Club number 3375, typically has its home in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. However, currently, due to renovations going on in the typical place that they meet, they're meeting in Ewing, New Jersey. And the Mercer's Best Toastmasters Club has been around for quite a few years, and it is led by Miss Marianne Ferrara, DTM.
Awesome.
There is also an awesome group of people supporting her as officers, sergeant at arms, vice president, the VPPR. So we have, for example, Young May in the VP of Education spot. We have
Awesome.
Beverly Setch Thomas in the VPPR spot, and we have Charlie Mack as Sergeant at Arms. So there are a lot of people who support her in the editorial roles. And then the club itself is flourishing. I believe we have somewhere between 20 and 30 members, something like that. So
That's
when we meet
good.
in person, we have full houses.
Oh,
And
wow.
I would say that we're just a friendly bunch of folks. And if you decide to join us, you can feel free to visit us at the Ewing Library in Ewing, New Jersey. We meet there in person once a month on the second Thursdays of every month. And we also, because we're a hybrid club, meet online on the fourth Thursdays of every month. If you are interested, find a way to contact me. I think I'll leave some of my contact information with IDLT so that then they can be put in the show notes or something. We'd love to have you. And in the name of Pathway proactivity. I am almost always giving a speech, so you never have to cry that you missed me one day. Okay, so if you
I
come,
love that.
you're
I
gonna
love that.
hear me
I
talk.
love that. I love that. I love that. One of the things I mentioned is that you did not only compete in your club and won, you competed in the area, you won, you competed in the division, you won, and then you went to the conference and you competed there. Now, that was a level of you meeting people that have been in Toastmasters for eons. So yeah, you did well. I was there. But I get this, the trophy just ran away from you. But that's okay because you're just starting. So it's something for you to know that there's still room for growth. So you talked about the elective, although I'll come back to that, but you talked about how do you pick the right elective for you in levels 3, 4, and 5. I look at it and like I said, I'm usually one of those ones that told my own personal home club, how do we know what Toastmasters is all about from level 1 to level 5? And how do we encourage people to, if you're doing this, pick this, if you're doing that, pick that, to encourage you to be able to plug it into the Toastmasters requirement for that speech level. So how do you say, okay, this is my I'm saying arm on arms. Well, we're not at a Toastmasters meeting, right? How do you say this is for me to do for table topics, or this is for me to do for presentation representative or something of that nature? And how do you know that, okay, you said you picked your topic is persuasive influence. My topic is presentation mastery, and the other one I did was effective coaching. So how do we know that going into this for an elective in there, how did you pick your elective? Maybe I should say that. Maybe that might help somebody else in saying, okay, I'm at the elective levels now. I would like to pick this.
All right, this is an excellent question, and I'm so glad that you asked it because I'm about to enter. After this coming week, level four, and this will be something that I deal with as I move forward. For me, I chose my electives by converging three things. One, the requirement, which is that I choose something that they're offering. Two, what is convenient for me to complete, because again, nobody does Toastmasters. Solely, all of us are busy doing life, being professionals elsewhere, and anybody who will visit my LinkedIn after listening to this podcast will see how many things I'm involved in. So I am a busy person, just like I'm sure many of you all in District 38 are. So convenience is the second thing. And the third thing is strategic planning. Here's what I mean by strategic planning. When you're choosing your elective, I want you to think about how your choice will help you meet a short-term goal that you care about. I'll give you all an example. If we have a Toastmaster named Jane, and Jane is at level 4, and Jane is interesting. In launching a company online for, let's say, self-help, confidence building, those kinds of things. And she knows that the typical way that people who are working in her field and how they reach folks is blogs, is podcasts. Posts online, social media, then what Jane should do, considering the requirement that she pick something as an elective from Toastmasters, that's number one. Considering her convenience, let's say Jane is a mom of two very young children. So that means she may not have a lot of time. And three, strategic planning. How can what she's doing here in Toastmasters benefit her towards her short-term goals? Probably Jane would want to pick something like either a blog or a podcast. The reason why is because Jane will be able, since she already knows what she wants to do short term, to practice doing a podcast if that's her chosen method of connecting with her
The
audience and
audience.
her, yeah, the people that she's going to be selling things to, interacting with, the people that'll be in her orbit. Or she can choose, if she's doing writing, to do a blog post. And who knows? Jane may have been procrastinating, as many of you Toastmasters in District 38 do. You procrastinate so much, right? Jane may have been procrastinating. And she may say, you know what? How about I make my first blog post a blog post for my company? Or how about my Toastmasters podcast? It'll be a first episode of my podcast for my personal business. I think culturally we call this killing what? A bird or two birds with one
It's
stone.
one
Yes,
stone,
that's the saying. Yeah, killing two birds with one stone.
one
So
stone.
I encourage everyone who is a Toastmaster to think about how they can make the time they spend in Toastmasters worthwhile, not only for your progress on your pathway, but also worthwhile for other things that you're doing. I'll give you all a personal example. Recently, I gave a presentation at work. It was a big deal. It's for an annual meeting. I recalled, having looked over my pathway, that there was a prepare to speak professionally module. So I decided to look into whether or not I could use that speech that I would be giving at work, which would be my professional space, if I could use that to cover the activity, prepare to speak professionally on my Toastmasters pathway. As it turns out, I wasn't so lucky. It didn't work out because my job said, hey, this is private. This is not for public. So I wasn't able to do that. But that's the kind of strategic planning, strategic thinking that I recommend. So when you have that trifecta, one, the requirement from Toastmasters, you got to pick something. Two, what's convenient for you, considering all the things you have to do. And three, strategic planning, how you can make the most out of the situation. You'll find that it's a lot easier to pick an elective.
Awesome. That's good. That's awesome. You just mentioned that you were not able to get somebody to evaluate you during your on your platform in at work. That was one of the things that came up when I was club president, and I said I needed because we're on a professional platform. So I know if there was somebody in your audience that was a Toastmasters, will not be able to give you a verbal evaluation, but can give you a written evaluation. So if they can have somebody just sit in and listen and give you tips and, nuggets on how to improve here and there. So for anybody out there, like I said, if you're on that platform and you're looking for somebody to give you feedback on a professional level, just find somebody or, encourage somebody to join Toastmasters from your company or from your team so they can give you that evaluation. You can both give yourself
There
that
we go.
evaluation.
Strategic thinking, strategic thinking. That's what I'm talking about. That
Yeah,
is
so
exactly what I'm talking about.
yeah, that's interesting because that's one of the things we plugged into our company. I belong to a corporate club, so that's one of the things I absolutely told them, plug that in. Let's see, because we're learning professionally, and if we can absorb that into the company culture, that's great. So I hopefully hope they're still doing it because it's just anybody that can go in there and randomly be able to evaluate. One of the well Toastmasters out there, like I said, I'm a DOT and you're listening to SOA talk about her Toastmasters journey, and I'm plugging in one or two bits in there. Yeah, Toastmasters is interesting, and when you find people like SOA and I that sold out to the Toastmasters journey of being able to complete three levels in 7 months, or being able to fly through leadership positions in like less than 7 years,
7 months.
So it's one of those things that we do just as Toastmasters. But what's one thing you can say it's the benefit of being a Toastmaster? One benefit that you can, use to encourage somebody that is just looking for that one new thing that can evaluate them, get them excited again about life or about something, anything. Do you think Toastmasters might be able to do that for just maybe one person or maybe a group of people? What do you think?
Definitely feel as if Toastmasters is that option that people can consider if they want to add a new spice to life. I'm going to share from a personal perspective. One unexpected thing that has happened as I've joined Toastmasters, I have found that having Toastmasters as a networking framework has been a surprise joy of the experience. I'm meeting all kinds of interesting people. We're always looking for connections in this world as human beings. And one of the things that has really, really astounded me is now that I'm a part of Toastmasters, there's nowhere that I could go in the world where I wouldn't at least have one thing that I could use to connect to people in that region, in that country, in that area. I could
That's good.
always go and seek out a Toastmasters club somewhere, and that would be a commonality that I would have with them. You know, in most cases, humans have to guess or judge others in the short bit of time that they meet them. And we may not necessarily have the time to get to know others very well in these interactions.
That's
But the
true.
fact that I'm a Toastmaster is something that I share with thousands of people across the globe. And if I show up, for example, in Nigeria, or if I show up in Japan, or if I show up in Britain or South Africa or Australia, I know that there are other Toastmasters around. So I could go to any one of those meetings, get to meet new people, and get to connect in something that we both know how to do. And so I would say that that's one of the boons of Toastmasters, just the networking, the connecting. I'll give you all a really short story about how connecting with others through Toastmasters led to an opportunity for me. Now, I'll say for the record that I didn't necessarily get much from this opportunity by way of tangible benefit, but I still enjoyed it and it is still an accomplishment for me. I decided to attend the Women's Day event that our Toastmasters president and other very high up officials in Toastmasters were having this year in March. While I was there, I did my usual thing, said hello to everybody and dropped my LinkedIn, invited them to reach out to me. It was through there that I met an individual named Karima Rajan, who is a Toastmaster and a member of the incredible Toastmasters out of Atlanta, Georgia. And I decided to talk with her. And so we had an hour-long conversation. This was an individual that I'd never met before, but what was our commonality? Toastmasters.
Toastmasters.
We had an
That's
hour-long conversation. And Karima and I, we have some similar elements to our personality. You know, charisma, strength. We're both the kinds that can talk and talk and talk. So Karima invited me to her club's meeting. I went, and it was there I was able to meet other people in her club. And then the new VP of education of her club, Tariq, invited me to be a judge for an impromptu speaking contest that his club was going to have. The way he figured it, considering all that he'd heard about me and my rapid rise through Toastmasters, he said, "You know what? I think you'll be a good judge." And I said, "Yes, let's do it." So
That's good.
I was recently a judge for the Incredible Toastmasters' first ever impromptu speaking contest within their club. And it was something that I enjoyed immensely. This is what I'm talking about when I speak about connecting with other Toastmasters and opportunities coming through that. And even the fact that I'm here today with you at AOT on this podcast is something that came of an interaction that we had at the conference for District 38. This was where I
That's
first
true.
broached the idea, and it is a pleasure.
Thank you so much, SOA. One of the things I've done this year, I still keep doing throughout my Toastmasters year, is always looking for that person in the corner just to tap on their shoulder and say, "You do have a story," because one of the things you've done is you've joined Toastmasters. So how about we hear that story from you? And yes, this podcast continues into the new year, into the Toastmasters new year for District 38. And if you want to be part of it, I guess you just have to reach out to the leaders of Toastmasters in District 38 and find out how you can be one of the members to talk about it. You brought up a topic. I know we said we wouldn't discuss this, but let me find out from you when you went for the conference and you were one of the people that was competing with the butterflies.
No, as I told you before we hopped on this recording, public speaking is my thing. The fact that I lost at the contest, the District 38 final level, fluke. It doesn't faze me one bit. I will be back. You know what? How about it? You guys will hear it here first. Everyone, I am going to compete in the future for world champion of public speaking. You've
Awesome.
heard
We
it
look
here
forward to
first.
it. I'm
You
looking
know,
forward
there
to it.
are, oh yes, do look forward to it. I'll likely be doing it as a Toastmasters out of District 36 because I will be moving soon. But I do want to point out that even if you are a little different from me and you don't enjoy the limelight or spotlight and maybe you don't enjoy competing or things like that, there are other avenues that you can rise to the Toastmasters ranks and how you can really contribute to Toastmasters. I've seen a ton of folks go the administrative route. They are club leaders and then they're area and district leaders and regional leaders until they make it all the way up into, the levels of the presidents and vice presidents and international this and that. So you can choose that route. You can choose to become an accredited speaker, or you can choose, as I'm choosing to do right now, considering my very limited time, you can choose competing. So there are
Yeah,
so many
that's great.
ways that you can fit yourself into the Toastmasters story, so many avenues. And I encourage you to find the one that's best for you. But considering that Toastmasters is primarily an educational experience, do not shirk your duties to get through your pathways. I once met a lady, very nice, at one of the area competitions, the one that I was a part of for F62. Table topics contest. And she told me that she'd been a Toastmaster for almost 2 decades, yet she had never competed. And she was still working her way through her pathway. And I just sat there scratching my head. What could be behind that? That's part of why we're having this conversation today. I want to give you guys the tips so that you're able to feel empowered, so that you're able to center yourself in your Toastmasters journey. Because, like people always say about things that we do, you get what you put into it out of it.
Yeah, you're right to some extent. I don't usually say you get everything you put into it because one of the things I've learned from Toastmasters is that you do need a sponsor. You need that person that is going to coach you, mentor you, and guide you. Because some people need that buddy that is going to help them walk along it. Because that's why some people join Toastmasters. For you already have that adventure part of you. Some other people, it's just emerging out of them. And like you said, Toastmasters, you can either go the way of the competition or you can go the way of the leadership. Like I said, 7 years, seven different positions: member, president, area director twice, division director twice, club growth director this year. What's next? I leave that up to God. I leave that up to my higher power. But one of the things, like you said, is that we should just keep encouraging people. There are people that have been on the Toastmasters platform and need that help, need that encouragement to let them know that it is attainable. The journey they started with 2 decades ago is attainable. I have a similar story, but the only thing is that mine is not that. The club is rallying around the person to get them to the next level. That DTM. They've been here for a while and they're pushing them, encouraging them to get that DTM and all the points, everything they need, they're getting it. And I'm happy I was able to be a part of that. So that's what I'm looking for in in this Toastmasters journey. So that people know Toastmasters says where leaders are made, it's not where leaders are maintained. So when you are a leader, you're not looking for somebody, or you are discouraging people to not take on leadership role, then why did you join Toastmasters? Leaders, people need to be not even told, but encouraged, because some people would not step up to that platform. One of the things I've seen in my Toastmasters year this year is the president role in Toastmasters. A lot of people shy away from it because they don't think they will have the team support of what they need. Because somebody coming into it, like I said, I came into Toastmasters not knowing anything about Toastmasters. I was just curious. But with me journeying through Toastmasters, I found that what else can I do? How else can I support? And what else can I, bring to the table to let people know SOA is out here trying to encourage you. That pathway is attainable. And both of us are here Saturday. What's today's date? 6/8/2025. And letting you know it's attainable. Yes, it's attainable. And if you're still curious about Toastmasters or what this organization is about, you're in luck. Toastmasters is coming to Philadelphia. Their convention is coming to Philadelphia. Let me put a plug in out there for them. And it's going to be in August, the last week of August, and it's going to be from the 27th to 28th. So it's a 3-day convention, right? Not a conference. District is conference. Organized International is convention. Yes, they'll be in the Center City area. I think, what is it called? What's that? Marriott, I think. They'll be at Filbert. Well, if you're curious, go on their website. They have it all out there. Come to District 38's website. You can find all those information out there. Like I said, this is SOA and a DOT, just trying to tell you about our Toastmasters journey for, well, hers is this year. My 7 years counting. Hers is 7 months. So let's see. What else? SOA, you said you're moving. What else? Are you going to drop Toastmasters because you're moving, or you're just going to, look
Great
for another
question.
sister club and just keep
Great
encouraging people
question.
and getting that Toastmasters vibe out there?
Great question. So I'm not dropping Toastmasters. Because I'm
Awesome.
moving from this area, I will need to realign with a new club. So I will be doing that after I move from this area. So after I get out of District 38, I'm going to join a club in District 36. And I will be probably in that district for the rest of my time in Toastmasters. I will be going abroad, though, for a bit. And so I will find maybe an occasional Toastmasters club to visit while I'm abroad, but my home club will be in District 36. And when I return from abroad, that's when I will hit the ground running as a competitor. You people will see me in a couple of years. And when you see me competing at regional or national or global levels, you'll say, "Hey, I remember her. I think she was on that podcast one time and she was talking about competing. What was her name? Dr. Asohei Iribor. That's my name. Look forward to it."
Thank you so much, Dr. SOA Irapor. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. And as I said, my name is Adioti. I'm the Club Grow Director for this year. And this is Ch District 38's Megaphone podcast. And thank you for listening to us.
Thank
If
you
you,
all.
yeah, if you need to connect with us, we're, I don't test it, it's District 38 at toastmasters.org, I think. District 38 at the, I don't remember the, I don't remember the email address. I'm sorry. But we're out there. You can always Google us. I'm sure we'll pop up District 38, or you can always Google us. You'll see Toastmasters International. And like I said, if you still need to know more about Toastmasters International, you need to know the whole big story and meet all these people that are actually behind the decision making. Yep, they will be in Philadelphia this year from August 27 to August 29 in downtown Philadelphia. Yep, they will be right there in Center City. Thank you very much. If you, well, my name is Duty, and you can always find me on the District 38 website too. For right
Thank you so
now, I
much.
guess that's it. Have a
That's
great
all.
afternoon. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.